Hi, welcome to High Five Over 50. I am so excited that you've joined us today, and I am thrilled to have with us an expert who is an amazing woman I'm happy to share with you. She brings a lifetime of achievement and a wealth of knowledge, and I would like to introduce you all to Dr. Gail Carson. Dr.
Hi.
Gail, hi, Gail, hi there. Dr. Gail Carson has a long and a successful career. She's a businesswoman, she's a speaker. She's a coach. She's an author. She's a radio host. She's been a CEO of an organization with over 350 staff. And while she was doing that, she also earned her doctorate degree. I'm really impressed. She's graduated over 1 million students from her training programs. She's been a consultant to 50 different industries in 6 continents. She's a best-selling author of 5 books. She hosts, get this, my audience, she hosts over 12 radio shows a month. And she is the founder of the SOB Radio Network. So welcome, Dr. Carson.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just so impressed with that long list of achievements there, and I'm sure there's even more. Let's start out with, I did tell our viewers that you are the founder of the SOB Radio Network, and I'm sure they all want to know, as I did when I saw that, what does that mean and how did you come across that moniker?
Well, actually, SOB stands for Spunky Old Broad, and that's what I'm known as. I'm known as Dr. Gail, SOB, Spunky Old Broad.
I
So
love it.
that's what the SOB Radio Network is. It's SOBRadioNetwork.com, and we work with women over 50. I have hosts who are over 50 who are doing shows, and then, of course, my show is on there for women over 50 as well.
That's wonderful. Tell me a little bit about your show for women over 50.
Well, I interview women who are over 50 years old. Some of them are in business, some of them are volunteers, some of them are just doing really unusual things. And the whole key to it is to let women know who are over 50 that life is not over, that it's just starting. You can do whatever it is you'd like to do. Maybe your perspective's a little bit different. Maybe you're an empty nester. Maybe you're widowed or divorced. Maybe there's other things going on in your life, but life is good if you want to make it good.
Super. I love that. So once you hit 50, you're not invisible. Life isn't over. There's so much more that we can do, and that's what your shows are
Absolutely.
about. I
Right.
love it. I love it. So our summit, the series that we're on, is about physical and emotional wellness or health or wellness for a vital, purpose-driven life. So some of our viewers, they find their purpose in business, and some of them find their purpose in a career, or some in the arts, or some are involved with some kind of cause that maybe they're volunteering for. So can you speak to them and to us about finding and maintaining vitality and purpose after 50?
Well, first of all, I think that you have to think of things positively. I'm all about positive mindset. So you have to go to bed with a smile. You have to get up with a smile. And what you do all day is very important to your health and well-being. I'm a workout person, so I work out every single day. And that keeps me going. That's number one. I do what I love. So mentally and emotionally, I'm in good spirits. Physically, I've got challenges. I'm going now through my fourth case of breast cancer. I've had 16
Sorry.
surgeries, but I'm still going strong. I don't let it stop me. And so I think it's how you approach life. It's how you look at things. It's how you accept what comes into your life every day. No day is going to be perfect, and every day has something. I used to say, if I didn't have at least 12 challenges in a day, it wouldn't have been a complete day. So, it's how you receive the news that's given to you.
Did you sort of start out that way? Have you always had that kind of a positive mindset like that, or is it something you acquired? And if so, how?
Well, I have to tell you, no, I don't know where it came from, but I've always been like that. My first stage appearance was at the age of 3. And so I just have been on stage ever since in one way or another. And so I've always gone after what I've wanted. I had my first real job at 13 when I had broken 22 pair of glasses, and my father said, if you break another pair, you are going to buy them. And I picked up my 23rd pair, went down to the car where he was waiting, and I promptly sat on them. I put them on the seat of the car and broke them. So that was, yeah. And so I started selling Avon cosmetics door to door because I didn't want to babysit. And that was the only thing that was available to a 13-year-old. And so that's what I did. I and I became the top salesperson in our whole area because I was little. It was the 50s. People were home. I wouldn't leave once I got in there. I sat down on that couch and I was not leaving until they bought and everybody bought from me. So, and I've always kind of worked since I was 13 and I was in my first business that you described at 21. So, yeah, I've always been kind of like that. A multitasker and a lot of things going on at one time.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you had, it almost sounds like you had no fear, which I'm sure is not really the case. There was probably fear and you figured out how to overcome that. But for some of us who are just starting maybe over 50 that didn't have that kind of a history, can you give some advice about like, what could we say to ourselves or what strategies?
Well, you didn't get to 50 by doing nothing. I mean, you either worked or you raised a family or you managed a household or you were in a group of some sort that you might have been a board member of or a volunteer of. All of those require skills. Mm-hmm. And so you really didn't do nothing. It seems like it if you talk to people, oh, I did this, I did that, I did that. But you did something. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for you to look at what you've done in your past and say, gosh, what did I really do well? And what did I excel at? And even ask your friends. Your friends will tell you, what are you good at? Nobody would ever come to me to tell them how to cook or how to clean a house or how to be domesticated because I'm none of those. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, and yet there are people who are great homemakers who I say, how did they do it? Yeah. So everybody has their thing.
Everybody does. And I love the suggestion that you have about asking a friend, because sometimes we don't see it in ourselves, exactly. But our friends can see, look, but you did this and you did this for the PTA and you did this, you know, with the Girl Scout cookies or whatever, or you did this in your business, you did this in your career, and we don't see it that way. Sometimes we think maybe, oh, it's egotistical to think that, but your friends will tell you that. And that's they'll right. say, you're good at this and this and this. And then we as women need to take that in and say, oh, well, yes, I did. And not
yes, and appreciate it. Right. Appreciate
exactly it. To really appreciate it. Yeah. And I find it another thing that you said was about using the skills that you have to meet a need for someone else.
That's so, right. I mean, you know, you may for example, some people are very shy. I am not shy. So wherever I go, if I walk into a room, I never say, oh my gosh, I don't know anybody. I walk in and say, wow, I don't know anybody. Look at all the people I'll meet. So I go up to people and I introduce myself. And if they don't know somebody or if it's not a good connection for me, but I know somebody that they would be a good connection for, I do connect them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think, yeah, everybody has their thing that they do well.
Yeah. And it sounds like what you're really good at is just really listening to people, listening to what they're saying and seeing how you can meet a need for them, whether it's something that you have to offer or something that someone you know has to offer as well.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I know I have to do that in my business too. It's not something that I can help you with, but I do know somebody else that can. So it sounds like you're really good at that. And it's something that we can all learn from. And so how do you maintain that vitality and that go-get-it-ness, and when you're going through some of the challenges that you just said that you're going through chemo, and
well,
how do you stay up?
I guess I don't know how to explain it to you except that it's very difficult for me to get depressed. I mean, I might get depressed for 30 seconds and then 30 seconds later I'm saying, well, why are you in this funk? Let's go. So, but I think it's also the way I lead my life. Number one, I workout, so I feel good. I've got a lot of energy. Number two, I love animals, and I live alone, but I've got two cats, and I talk to them, and they talk to me, and there are a lot of companionship and company. So I'm happy when I'm at home, and when I'm not at home, I'm busy doing all the things that you mentioned. So that keeps me active and busy, and I meet new people all yeah. of the time, and I meet celebrities as well as ordinary folk, and so. and I love what I do. So yeah. If you love what you do and you're happy doing it, and this is something that somebody else doesn't say, you need to do that. I mean, you're doing it out of choice. All of those are good reasons to be happy.
Exactly. So even if you're in a position at the moment where you have to be working at a particular job or something, you can find a passion outside of that that makes you happy, that can fulfill that purpose for you, whether it's different kinds of exercise, like I like to do jazzercise every day, or pets. You have cats and I have dogs, or art, or something like that, that gets you outside of yourself and doing something that you love.
And even if you're not in that kind of situation, supposing you're in a job that you have to work at to pay your bills. I mean, it's mm-hmm. as simple as that. I need to take X number of dollars in to pay X number of bills. When those are done at the end of the day, whether it's at 8 o'clock at night or it's on a weekend or whatever, that's when you should pursue something that you really are passionate about. Maybe it's going on a picnic, as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's meeting a long-term friend for lunch. Or maybe if you can't even afford to do that, you go for coffee or something. But after all is said and done, and after you've done all the stuff that you have to do, what is it you'd like to do? What is it? Do you want to go to a movie? What do you want to do? Do you want to go to a club meeting? Whatever it is, make sure you do it.
Right. Take care of yourself that way.
Right. Exactly.
So it's not just physically taking care of ourselves, but emotionally taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, mentally
as well.
And emotionally. Absolutely.
Yeah, for that wellness. I'm going to switch topics just a bit. I want to talk about something. I read a transcript of an interview that you had done, and you said, being a woman and older doesn't limit you in any way. So I wanted you to talk about that, because we are sort of inundated with television and movies. It's all about being young, and that once you're older, you're not as important, or you're not as visible, or not as beautiful, whatever. So can you talk about a little bit about how we can rethink or reinvent age in a way that really works for us?
Well, you know, I'm all about reinventing ageism, and I'm not going to say that it doesn't exist, because it does exist. However, do we let that conquer us? In other words, this summer, I went on a 2-week trip to Greece. My son gifted me that for my birthday, and I went by myself, and I got through Greece just fine. People said, how can you go by yourself? Aren't you going to be lonely? I met all kinds of people, and people adopted me, you know, and said, oh, come on, join us, you know, and so forth and so on. And yes, you're going to be turned down for a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that you're going to be able to do as well. And you just have to stand up for yourself. And that's what I do. When I want something badly, I go after it. I don't let anybody tell me no. They may tell me no 7, 8, 9, 10 times, but it's up to me to decide when I want to stop. So I say women are like fine wine. They get better with age.
I love it.
So,
you know,
so I'm of course there are things, and I think advertisers are crazy because they're missing this entire market, and we're the ones that have the money.
Exactly.
So, you know, but that's kind of the way it is, and you have to fight for it. I was one of the 10 finalists for the Silver Sneakers Fitness Award. I think they said they had 200,000 people try out for it, and I was one of 10. And they gave me a beautiful trophy and gave me a party at my gym, and the insurance company came, and the Silver Sneakers people came, and all of that. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people wouldn't have even tried out for, you know. And
exactly.
I probably do more radio shows than the average bear, 12 a month. So it's, you know, it's not saying I accept this because someone told me so. It's I'm going to change the norm. Would I be accepted in a corporation? Absolutely not. Would I be accepted if I was going to a company that wanted to hire young people and pay half a salary to them? Absolutely not. Do I want to start something for myself? Of course, I can do that. So, you know, you have to look at how you're going to approach everything.
Right. And one of the things I love that you just said is about being persistent, that just because somebody says no the first time doesn't mean no.
Yeah.
I watch my... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, one of my mottos is success success equals discipline and persistence.
I love it. I need to write that down. I watch my grandchildren asking for a cookie or something, you know, a toy, and then they hear no, 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 but they won't stop. It's just, they just keep on going, and I want to be like that.
That's right. I mean, you can learn from them. It's true.
Learn from a two-year-old. So that persistence.
But you know what? Once they get to school, that's going to be taken out of them because they're going to be having certain rules. They'll have to follow certain things. And I don't say that's wrong. I think there are rules that we need to obey. But a lot of creativity is taken out of us because we do have to stay within those lines.
Right. We have to color within the lines. Yeah. So we're going to start a movement here for women over 50 to not color within the lines.
That's right.
To lean in and not color within the lines and to don't stop at one no. We can make things happen for ourselves. So I'm going to change the subject one more time and tell our audience that you are a master at using media to forward your purpose. And so give us a master lesson in being a master at using media.
Well, media encompasses a lot of things. Media is radio, it's television, it's podcasts, it's blogs, it's articles, it's newsletters. So media is a lot of things, and I use all of them. So that's how you do it. And you need to make sure that your message is in the right media for the right market. For example, I was turned down by a TV station in LA because I was talking about the three worst mistakes you make when starting a second career. Well, their demographic is young, so I was not appropriate for them. On the other hand, 10, 12, 15 other stations have utilized me on that subject. Yeah. So, you know, it just depends on how you're presenting yourself and what you're presenting. In your newsletters, you can write whatever you want. People will either like it or not. Same thing with blogging, with radio. Is it a topic of interest? Can you get your points across? So it's really getting yourself utilized in the best way possible. And then, of course, there's social media, you know, LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I don't do Instagram because that's a younger market, but it's LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on.
Super, super. And actually, if our viewers will look at the bottom of the page for Dr. Carson, there's a link to a free gift that she's going to give us that's going to talk about her 6 SOB tips for media. So I want you to take advantage of that because this is a wonderful gift that she's going to be giving us. I just want to ask you one final little question, and that is if you could give us one habit that would be good for those of us who are over 50 to develop every day to move ourselves forward and to stay positive. What would that be?
Well, you just used the words, and that's to move. We have to move. We have to move our bodies. You don't have to do what I do, but you should be moving every day, whether it is walking, whether it is swimming, whether it is, doing yoga or doing biking or treadmill. I mean, you don't have to do what I do. I mean, I think it's good to work out with weights because it's good for your bones. And I think it's good to do certain aerobic activity because that's good for your cardiovascular. But the most important thing is to move. It's important to move.
Super. Well, thank you so much, Dr.
You're
Carson.
This has just been
wonderful, and I'm sure that our viewers have gotten so much great information from you. And thank you to our viewers of the High Five Over 50. Stay tuned for more wonderful speakers like Dr. Carson. Thank you so much.